I hereby introduce to you Mr. Michael Veazey.
Hi, welcome to Amazing FBA. This is your host, Michael Veazey, speaking. And this podcast episode is brought to you by Reliable Income, led by Adam Hudson. Reliable Income is an Amazon community and course, and Adam Hudson is an Amazon seller. He's doing well over seven figures a year now, and also a very straightforward Australian. And in a sea of hypey Americans, that is quite a refreshing change. Adam will tell you it straight when it comes to how much money you need to private label, which is measured in the thousands of dollars these days, not hundreds, and how long it takes to really get a private label product off the ground when you're working alongside the day job, which again is measured in months rather than weeks. Now, alongside that, Adam, however, is a very, very positive guy, and he has a lot to offer in terms of getting a really great positioning on Amazon for your products. So high quality products, selling at a really good price and keeping the competition at bay, which it's never been a smarter time to adopt that strategy than in 2018 when Me Too or Cheap are just going to be trashed by the Amazon crowd or have their price disappear into the floor overnight. So I really, really think his approach is sustainable. Hence, I think that Reliable Income is a very good word for his type of training. If you want to find out more about Adam, as I said, amazingfba.com/Adam. If you want to find out more about his training and or take the four-part video training course, which is free, go to amazingfba.com/reliable, R-E-L-I-A-B-L-E. Just for more transparency, I am an affiliate of that, so that will buy more than a coffee, as is the traditional about affiliate sales, but what it will do is help cover some of the costs of running the podcast, which hopefully benefits you, some of the software that I have to use to keep in touch with the guests, and my beloved and long-suffering editor, Daniel, who is worth his weight in gold, but I have got to pay him because even Daniel, even editors have to eat as well. So I've got to pay for blogging, podcast hosting, the rest of it. So that helps to cover some of my costs there. And I hope you'll check that out. Now on with the show.
Hi there, folks. This is Michael Veazey, and I'm going to tell you a little story about a mentoring client of mine. I'm going to chase his name because obviously I have to respect confidentiality and I have no wish to embarrass anyone either. But that said, I think it's important that you hear this story because I see this pattern too many times with my mentoring clients and mastermind members for it to be a coincidence. So let's call this guy Ozzy. And Ozzy came to me via the website that I have, amazingfba.com. And obviously you can check out anything you need to there, like this blog post will be at amazingfba.com/224. That's a blog post that goes with this episode, etc. Right? So it's all there for you to check out. But anyway, Ozzy went to amazingfba.com. He looked at the mentoring tab, presumably at the top of the website, went through, read all about mentoring and what it involves. And it's basically meeting with me a couple of times a month for 90 minutes, plus email support. Although not much email support, is mostly about the face-to-face mentoring. Anyway, so he obviously applied through that. I have to fill in quite a big application form because I only want to work with people who can actually, I can really help, right? And that's the point of this story, really, that he did that. We had our conversation. We always have an interview before I'll accept a new client. And of course, before they want to accept me as well, I want to make sure we've covered everything. So blah, blah, blah. We did all that. And then we started working and we met for several sessions. He seemed really happy with the work. I enjoy working with him. And the thing about Ozzy is this, he's got a business that does about £5 million a year in revenue already. So a lot of people would say, oh, why do you want to start another business? You've already got a success. Well, the interesting thing with him is the reason why he wanted to start a business, I think, is at the same time the reason why so far it doesn't look like he's going to start a business, as in going to start an FBA business anyway, an Amazon one. And that reason is the same thing, which is that he's overwhelmed by his day job. It's eating him alive. When I say day job, he's not an employee, but he's the employer of many people. He's got various different physical employees in different physical locations. It's a hell of a headache. And I could understand, having spoken to him for a while, why that was the case. And I think the particular thing that he was experiencing was that he was at the center of every single decision. And there's a whole hint about that. And that rabbit hole goes deep. I'm not going to go into that today. But, you know, for example, he was just desperately looking at his phone every 5 minutes when we were working together. And I said, look, Ozzy, I suggest that you just park your phone for 90 minutes. I do 90 minute sessions twice a month. In one case, I think he paid for a 3 hour session because he wanted to really get deep with it because he was serious about this stuff, you know, and he had the money to do it, which is important as well in this day and age with private label business. But, you know, for the 3 hour session, I said, okay, let's compromise. After 90 minutes, we'll take a 15 minute break and you can check your phone, make any calls you need to. But really, we spent about half of one of those sessions just going over his existing business. And I said, look, I'm not an expert in outside of Amazon business coaching, but we clearly need to remove you from some of this stuff. So the upshot is that, you know, Ozzy worked with him, seemed happy. He just got buried, I think. He's subscribed as a mentoring client. I've sent him about 6 emails, 2 text messages, a phone call, Skyped him, just no response. And bear in mind that I'm not some scary salesman trying to sell him on something. He's already bought. I'm trying to persuade him to consume that which he has bought. So the funny thing is that I find, and this is not the only person I've experienced this with, I just think people get overwhelmed by their current situation and they cannot really realistically create a new business in that situation. So the first order of business, I think, before you create a new business is coming back to the theme that I've been harking on in the last few podcasts, really. And it seems to me appropriate in January, low energy time of year for me anyway, and for a lot of people, at least in the UK, where it's cold and wet. If you're listening in Florida, then I envy you. Maybe you don't have this problem. Or if you're in Australia, obviously it's summer and you're out surfing. So please don't make me too jealous. But you know, for a lot of us, this is a time of year when it's low energy and we reevaluate. And I think that process is very, very important, because before we can create something new, we have to eliminate, we have to make space and stop spending time, energy, and potentially money on something in order to put that time, energy, money into something else. So here's a possible elimination list for you that I've come up with, so that we can basically make time for you to even create, even have the possibility of creating a new Amazon business. Number one, existing income streams. I'm not suggesting you just eliminate an income stream in order to go and plunge into something that doesn't make money to start with. No new business makes money to start with, and that's true for Amazon, because you're gonna have to spend some time researching, getting products, seeing which ones sell. You know, it's not an instant tap that you can just turn and voila, there's your money. So the first thing, however, is to see if you can cut down on some income streams to a manageable point to make some time to grow your new business. That's the first thing. The second thing is, can you remove yourself from some of the processes or meetings or whatever if you run your own business? Or even if you're an employee, do you have to go to every meeting? Can you work from home sometimes? Can you find more efficient ways of doing things? And there's lots and lots of ways around this, but basically you just need to be looking all the time. Number three, is there a way that you can eliminate time wasting activities so that you can make a bit of space? So watching telly, you know, YouTube videos, stuff like that. Can you carve an hour a day out just by being more efficient? And that's actually a pretty good win all round, because unless it was a social activity like watching TV with your husband or wife or something, then that's really not going to serve you greatly in mental or certainly physical development, is it, sitting in front of a TV? So now, if you want a bit of quality time with your spouse, you've got to be careful with that, and you need to negotiate that. So step four is it, or point four of possible eliminations for your time, is a difficult one, which is spending a bit less time with family, friends, and loved ones generally. Now, that's obviously fraught with dangers, and you need to be very, very careful to keep quality time, because there's too many tales of business people who've destroyed their relationships by just simply spending too much time in the business and not giving the love and attention to their family that they need and deserve, I guess, as well. So you can, however, have a conversation with a spouse that says, look, I'm going to try and create a better future for us and ultimately have more time to spend with you and all the kids, depending on your situation. But it's going to take some time, and I need to make that time. So I'm going to do this, but I will make sure we safeguard a date night or something. And what I would say is get a date night in the calendar, folks. And when I work a lot of the time, because I work on my own business and my fiance is freelance, that we often end up not having that much quality time naturally in the evenings when a lot of people would have it, or even weekends, because we both might be working at points. And in my case, it's out of choice, because I enjoy it. I enjoy my work, and I'm lucky to get to do something creative and cool, which is selling on Amazon and communicating about that to others. But nevertheless, we need to just get it in the diary. And nowadays, we put that day and night in the diary, and we just make sure that we get a couple of points of the week where it's safeguarded for us and us only. And sometimes we may watch rubbish on YouTube or whatever, but if that's part of bonding with my fiance, I'm good with that. Fifth opportunity for elimination is really to sit down and evaluate. If you have more than one income stream, which many of us do, evaluate really how valuable that really is and whether it's good for you or not. And I've got a whole podcast that I'm going to deal with that, a very cool system, which I didn't invent. So I think I'm allowed to call it cool for evaluating that in quite an objective way. Now, I don't think that numbers or some artificial spreadsheet system should ever take the place of intuition and common sense. So don't get me wrong. I mean, you should use your common sense, but it's helpful to have a system. So that's episode 225. So if you want to check that out, that'll be coming out very soon. And if you want to check the show notes for that, I'm going to put a special calculator that will help with your assessment of whether or not you should grow, shrink, or simply kill off an income stream. But examples of when you really should be eliminating stuff is like if you had an old website that is doing a tiny amount of money, but is taking a lot of time and energy for customer service, a little side gig which you do, which was a passion project, but which you no longer really care about. Like, for example, if you're a photographer of weddings at weekends and evenings or something on top of a day job. Another reason for eliminating things might be that it's no longer making decent money and so forth. So there's lots of criteria to assess it against. But if you have lots of different irons in the fire, which is quite common for entrepreneurial types, if you have property, if you have some kind of domaining site, you're selling stuff online in some site, if you have a day job and you also are running your wife's business with her or something like that, or your husband's business, you're the accountant for it, whatever the situation, you really got to stand back and look at that and just think, well, you don't necessarily have to kill everything off overnight, and I wouldn't suggest you make drastic changes without serious thought, but certainly you've got to look at what you can get rid of before you create something new. The final point I'd say about this, I mean, these are just some examples where you've got to use your common sense about how you might do this. But the final point I would say is this, that the good news about Amazon is that it is very scalable and very leveraged use of your time. Those things are, I think, true. And that is to say that if you work once and you can get paid many, many times on the basis of the product you found or created or had created for you. And it scales, meaning that if you sell 100 units of a product this month and 1,000 units next month, you really don't have much additional work. If you're doing the customer service yourself initially, then yes, there's a few more hours a week needed for that, but it's not huge because most people don't get in contact unless you've got a really problematic product. Most people don't do anything. They don't leave reviews. They don't leave positive or negative reviews. They don't leave seller feedback and they don't get in touch. They just buy the product and use it. Which means that most of the time that you can sell 10 times the number of units with a bump, a few hours a week, maybe increase in the time you put in. So those are amazing truths about Amazon. The downside that you need to be real about is to not try and just quit your day job and go straight for this thing overnight. Now, I know some people do that and it's worked for them and that's great. And if you're really risk on person and you don't have responsibilities like family, I guess maybe you can do that. And that's a personal decision. I'm not here to dictate that. But I do think that it's good to leave yourself some time. So if you want to replace the day job with Amazon, for example, you really need to get it to the point where it's working in a stable way and producing a decent chunk of stable cash. And Amazon and stability don't always go together. To be honest, the income goes massively up before Christmas and then it drops down in January for most products anyway. So something to bear in mind. You need to be able to ride the waves and the peaks and the troughs. But also the difficult thing, and this is what I'm addressing right now, the difficult stage is when you have a day job, you don't yet have a Amazon income to replace that, or you have an existing business. You don't yet have an Amazon income to replace that, but you need to make time to create that Amazon business in the first place. This is where we have to box clever. It's not a question of eliminating everything that we're doing, but it's a question of eliminating low value income streams in favor of a potential high value one. And that's quite a risky investment. And less dramatically, it's just kind of cutting back on things or putting things into a holding pattern or outsourcing stuff such that you can make the space. So hopefully that's a useful thought. It's not very sexy. It's not like about growth and do this and you'll make a million. It's about making space to create that thing that could make you a million. And that is a reality. It's not going to be a common thing for people to make millions on Amazon. Making millions on any business model is not a common thing. But I do personally know several people. And I just mean the gurus that I speak to in the States, but I mean people based in England, or in one case is based in Europe, but that I regularly talk to and we hang out with, and they're doing millions a year in revenue and very healthy profits, sort of 20% profit. You can work out that they are doing very, very nicely. So it's all to play for, but without leaping into the fire, you need to make that space. So my question to you is, where can you make that space if you're not already working at Amazon Business? And if you are and you want to expand it more, then how can you make that space in your life to go even further and faster with your Amazon Business? That's it for today. Thank you very much for listening, and listen out for the next episode where I'm going to talk about James Shramko's evaluation points to evaluate an income stream, and very, very powerful stuff it is. Thanks for listening.